This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network, and the great Bill A.D. said it best in today's VSIN Daily, which is your table setter for your sports information. It's free. Go to VSIN.com, enter your email address, and every single day we hit you up with what you need to know. But Bill A.D. said it best, the old newspaper man that he is. He said, circus survivor bloodbath. And I think that succinctly puts what happened on the gridiron yesterday as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, downtown Las Vegas. The boys are there. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, of course, Amal Shaw at the D Fremont Street. I mentioned week three, boys, tons to get to. You had the Jags closing 7.5, lost to the Texans, survivor, bye-bye. You had the Ravens closing 7.5, lost to the Colts, many, goodbye. And then the Cowboys closing 11, losing to the Cardinals, bye-bye, a lot in survivor. Okay, so as we say hi and open it up, we've got two games coming up tonight to conclude week three. Philly's down in Tampa right now, that number over at DraftKings. Philly and Hurts 5.5, total 44.5. And as I say hi to Amal Shaw, it's will he or won't he? Optimism Burrow will play. The number was 2.5 earlier today. Everybody now is sitting Cincy hosting the Rams, Amal, 3. So it looks like some optimism for Joe Burrow. And welcome in, Amal. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You know, to answer your question, I personally don't think he's going to play. And I think a little bit of the factor is that Baltimore lost. And we also see the Steelers sitting at 2-1. Even if the Bengals come up short here, you feel like you're in still a pretty good position in this division. Obviously, the 0-3 start is not ideal. But I think you'd rather have a healthier Joe Burrow for 14 potential weeks than force him into a situation. And if he re-aggravates that injury and what the long-term ramifications could be.
Yeah, the look ahead of them all was 7. Opened last Sunday 6.5 with Cincinnati laying it. And then we've gone on a roller coaster ride. Dustin Sweetelson, this number got bet all the way down to 1.5 with the Bengals laying it. And then we started to creep back up over the past couple of days. 2, 2.5, and then just about, I'd say about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago, everybody, I'm looking at the screen right now, blanketed. You can go to VSiN.com for your splits and check out the number. I'm looking at the screen right now, blanketed. As a matter of fact, I'm seeing some juice on the 3 headed up. So we say, what's up to Dustin Sweetelson, who, by the way, there isn't a hotter handicapper on the planet than the big guy. We say, what's up?
Well, I felt pretty good over the weekend when I just happened to open the old X app, and the news hit as soon as my app opened, so it was like 46 seconds ago, A.J. McCarron signing a deal with the Bengals, and I was like, okay, sounds like to me Joe Burrow's not going to play. I went, I bet the Rams plus 3 at that point, and now I'm skeptical of how that's going to shake out here in the next few hours. We will probably know before we end the show today if Burrow's going to play and if I ended up getting what could be a good number.
Rappaport is reporting, and Amal, I'd like you to follow up because it's interesting. Your vibe is you don't think he's going to play. Rappaport reporting that there's optimism that he will play. I'm more like you, and I think this number 2.5 now sitting 3, even if he does give it a go, obviously this is a major injury that he's dealing with. It's just a desperation spot for the Bengals.
Yeah, it really is. I don't even think we're having this conversation of Cincinnati sitting at 2-0 right now. I think we're talking about Browning or A.J. McCarron. We're not even talking about Joe Burrow and the possibility of playing. I think the fact that this is a crucial game where they are in the season right now is the only reason this is a conversation piece. I think if you're Cincinnati, you've got a franchise quarterback. You got to play this cautiously. Don't allow one game to dictate everything. And, you know, on the surface, Patrick, it looks bad statistically. 0-3 teams, only 6 teams since, what, the merger, I think, have made the postseason. And it doesn't look good or doesn't bode well on paper. But if you're Cincinnati, I think you have to take a conservative approach here and then allow that team to maybe find itself as you go forward. Historically, Zach Taylor has gotten off to slow starts. I think Dustin pointed out last week, what is he, 1-9 in his first 2 games in the first 5 seasons? So nothing has really changed for them. Yeah, maybe they're winning in week 3 and then they really hit their stride as you get forward. I'm Cincinnati. I take a little bit of a cautious approach. Hope my defense and the rest of the team can answer the bell.
Mike Petralia, he's on the Jungle Beats for the Bengals. So we'll go straight to the source coming up in just a little bit. Big guy, an hour and 26 minutes. Mike is going to join. He'll let us know. He's going to have the inside scoop as to whether or not Burrow goes. A good Rams team to start the year, a little surprising. And then, of course, it's Monday. We'll talk about those openers and see where we may end up week four with these numbers. By the way, boys, Steve Fezzik, I should mention, professional sports bettor, friend of the show. I should mention, how about the way we're starting off week four? My Lions in Green Bay. That is shockingly. We've had to hear everybody nationally bitch about the Lions perpetually being on Thanksgiving. You never saw them in primetime because why would you? And then this week we kick off week four. You see the number. The Lions are actually laying a point and a half at that Packers comeback against the Saints on Thursday night.
You going to be okay, though, like Jordan Love? You nervous about facing him? Because according to Mike Somich, our boy who joins us every Friday, Jordan Love's the next Brett Favre. Are you scared the Lions can't go on the road to Lambeau and beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers in year one?
Somich is a numbers guy. As a matter of fact, Josh McDaniels should give Somich a call because maybe he could help him. But Somich literally flipped a coin on Jordan Love just like the rest of us. It was a coin toss whether or not he's going to be successful or not. And he sends me more texts than my mom sends me about weather. And my mom sends me a lot of text messages about weather updates, even my own, which... Newsflash, I know what my weather is, Mom, but thank you. But we get so many memes from Somich of Jordan Love. It don't stop. It definitely does not quit. Nope.
I can appreciate what Mike is saying in reference to Jordan Love and how good he potentially thinks he can be, but I'll tell you right now, the Saints blew that game yesterday. I mean, this is a New Orleans team that should be sitting at 3-0, getting ready to control that division. Carolina's off to a rough start. Buccaneers have a tough game tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles. Atlanta and Desmond Ridder. By the way, I want to apologize publicly to Desmond Ridder. Dustin and I have criticized him, saying he's the worst quarterback in the National Football League. As long as the New York Jets allow Zach Wilson to dress like it's Halloween every Sunday, he is the worst quarterback that may have ever played in the National Football League. Fourth down and 10, he throws a 1 yard out.
He's shook. He's completely rattled. You can tell the confidence isn't there. However, having watched Desmond Ridder in Atlanta, I'm going to say one thing, and of course Atlanta heads to London. Cheerio. The Falcons have a very good roster, and I think the three of us agree they have a very good coach. However, they don't have a quarterback. They're in purgatory right now without a quarterback because they need to either go back up with Heinicke or figure something out because they're going to waste a roster that is very talented, and I'm talking defensively as well.
How about watching Josh Dobbs and the Cardinals and think about how different the Falcons would look if they just had Josh Dobbs? You don't even have to go crazy. You don't have to go after a superstar. Just someone who's not going to make mistakes and can make some plays and manage the game the way that Josh Dobbs is doing right now. You put him in Arthur Smith's system, the Falcons are winning the NFC South.
I completely agree. When you look at the NFC South, you've got one really good head coach in Arthur Smith, and you've got three guys that have won the raffle. I mean, how
it's
the
bad.
Three donkey donks.
Yeah, I mean, between Frank Reich, Dennis Allen, and Todd Bowles, I mean, how are these three guys head coaches?
Tampa, by the way, Tampa's still almost 3-1. Or they're 4-1 at DraftKings to win the South still. It might not be a bad bet. Look, Derek Carr could be out a couple games. Who knows how the injury looks? Obviously, Jameis didn't get it done at the end of the game against Green Bay.
It wasn't on him. It was on the kicker.
No, I know. But they didn't win. They didn't win. As soon as Carr went down, that's when Green Bay did all their scoring. It seems like it makes sense. The Panthers are definitely not going anywhere. The Falcons, as long as they have Desmond Ridder, like, the Bucs' defense is awesome. They have good weapons and, like, Baker Mayfield's an upgrade on all of those other teams. Why not Tampa Bay at 4-1 still?
How about this? And I want to frame it with the carnage that was Survivor, because I think that kind of sets up week three as we review it here on Sharp Money. But what a weekend, boys. Like, Saturday, I know we're going to hold off on the college football for a day. But Saturday into Sunday, like, that is, it's a little depressing when you think about it because it's a sedentary lifestyle. But yesterday and Saturday are what this is all about, because I'm telling you, Dustin and I caught up earlier this morning. I'm sure you did with them too, Amal. That was like appointment television from the morning we woke up here on Saturday through last night, Sunday night affair.
You know, that Notre Dame-Ohio State game reminded me, you guys remember the game a few years ago at the Big House between Notre Dame and Michigan where they scored like 3-4 touchdowns in the final 2-3 minutes? Denard Robinson and them were going back and forth. This one wasn't that way from an offensive standpoint. But in terms of a game, a big game, two prestigious programs coming down to the final play was unbelievable. That Florida State-Clemson game, what a game to start off on Saturday. And even on Saturday night, I'll tell you one thing. Caleb Williams should win the Heisman Trophy. All due apologies to Michael Penix, who's been tremendous. Caleb Williams is the best player in college football. It's not even close for me. But Alex Grinch will be the downfall for USC. And then you go into Sunday, watch these games. And I'll tell you what, I know you guys are huge Lamar Jackson guys and the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm sorry. If you're John Harbaugh, that is not a game you could lose at home against the against the Indianapolis Colts when you have an opportunity to go 3-0 in your division and close it off with a just absolutely coaching blunder by Josh McDaniels here in Vegas. I thought in the fourth quarter, on fourth down and five, when they were trailing by 16, I thought they should have taken the field goal. He chose not to in that situation. They turned it over on downs. Then down by 8 points with about two and change to go, you decide you're going to go for the field goal. Fine. But here was the biggest mistake they made on third down. They called a timeout with 2:12 left. He should have let it go to the two-minute warning because that gave Pittsburgh the run-pass option. And if you had just forced him in third and two to run the football, I think there would have been a better chance of getting a stop than allowing them a run or a pass option with 2:12 left.
The NFL is always going to be king. However, the vibes in South Bend on Saturday night were freaking immaculate. It's hard to be college football in that atmosphere. Yeah. And the vibes on Saturday night, like you said, Amal, it wasn't necessarily the game was very intriguing. It wasn't offensive fireworks, but just the overall vibe, immaculate. And by the way, while Amal was giving his recap over the weekend, the big guy just bet in division the Bucs at +320. Fair?
Yep, +320 on the Buccaneers to win the NFC South. I think the whole division is a mess. It's going to be ugly. A bad team's going to end up winning it. Why not my guy Baker? Let them bake today.
50% turnover every single year as far as the NFL postseason. You saw why yesterday. The Jags, the Ravens, and the Cowboys all fall as big favorites. We're going to get to those and like, love, loathe to kick off a week here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, worlds are colliding. And as Tay-Tay would say, Dustin Sweetelson, let's effing go. Help us out. Sharp Money, we need your help. You get, what? 40% off? All right, so here's the deal. If you go sign up right now for an annual subscription, it was 10%. Now it's 40% off for the football season special. Up for grabs, if Sharp Money ends up doing well here, we get a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sports to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. So to sweeten the deal for you, you're getting 40% off. Bragging rights, make football this season the best ever. We're going to help you do the same. Save 40% right now. It's going to go away. Use that code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Recapping the weekend of action with what we liked.
All right, all right, all right.
What we loved.
I had an awesome time.
Like, I know that you had an awesome time, okay? I think the entire town knows that you had an awesome time.
And what we loathed.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
This is Like, Love, and Loathe on Sharp Money.
Sharp Money. Great job, Michelle. And all that helped put the graphic together, you gotta love it. But I'm gonna start with a like. Of course, Dustin Sweetelson, Amal Shaw. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you had a great weekend. Week three concludes tonight. Will he, won't he? Joe Burrow, the number is 3 with the Rams in town to kick it off. You've got the Eagles at the Bucs. Plenty to do, but I'm gonna start with my like. And what I like about the NFL, you call it parody, you call it basic. I like the upsets, okay? Even though we got knocked with our Jags pick in the Survivor contest, I like what we saw. Dallas closed 11, Amal Shaw. This was an unacceptable loss. First off, shout to John Goulet. They were penalized 13 times for 107 yards. Blowout loss against two teams with questionable quarterbacks for Dallas to start the year. Then all of a sudden, here comes the Cardinals. What was Mr. McCarthy and Dak Prescott doing down 2 scores late, milking the clock They looked completely confused. They looked lethargic. Dak was bad. The Cards ran against this epic defense, and the Cowboys ran for 222 yards. Yikes. Wasn't pretty in the desert for the Cowboys, who closed 11. I liked it. Let's go to the Jags. Closed 7.5. Struggled in all three phases. This was about as ugly as it gets. Special teams allowed a blocked field goal and a kickoff return for a touchdown. They had 400-plus yards on offense, the Jags, and they couldn't finish drives. That's the story of the year thus far. Lawrence, red zone issues, the Jags, yikes. Next, Baltimore. Amal Shaw mentioned it. You can't lose this game. I'm sorry. You score a touchdown on your first drive, and then you throw up all over yourself the rest of the way. It was sloppy. It was ugly. The Colts were the better team. Justin Tucker misses a game-winning attempt from 61 yards, falls just short. But again, you score on your opening drive, and then you disappoint the rest of the way. I know you're missing seven starters. The Colts, out of nowhere, shout to the big guy who said this team's a little underrated coming into the year. They're now 2-1. The Ravens 2-1. So my like, let's go one by one on these boys, because these were three big-time upsets, and I'll give you the ramifications when it comes to Survivor as well. I love the Cards. I loved the Texans, even though they knocked us out. And I loved the Colts. That, Amal Shaw, that's my like to get us started here.
I absolutely love what you've done there, and you're absolutely right. Let's start with this game in Arizona and Glendale. Cardinals were a tremendous team, particularly on third down, converting, I think, what is it, 5 out of 10 third downs. If you're Dallas, you got to get off the field in some of these situations. 50% conversion rate is going to get you beat on the road every time, and Dallas, that's exactly what happened. The other big takeaway, guys, that I had in this football game, that interception by Dak Prescott told you everything about who he is and why the Dallas Cowboys will never, ever get over the top with Dakota Prescott as their quarterback. Can't do it. It's the old Mike Singletary line. Can't win with him.
Yeah, it was. I wrote down lethargic, listless. The performance, it almost, I don't know if they were peaking, but you can't. I mean, it's 17 weeks. Here's the deal as far as the carnage. Cowboys lost to the Cards, so 367 knocked out in Survivor. Big guy take on that one.
Well, I think I'm going to actually take a positive on the other side, and that's Jonathan Gannon is a giant weirdo. But you know who else is? His old boss in Philadelphia. And we were all so quick to judge Nick Sirianni based off his opening press conference, and we were all quick to judge Jonathan Gannon when we saw him interact in the hallways with, it must have been Buda Baker in the offseason. We saw the clip from the Amazon series where he's asking if people have fire in their belly. Meanwhile, he had no fire in his belly when he said it. But maybe there's a chance this guy might know how to coach football, because this team led at halftime a couple of really good teams, one outright in one of them. There are a few things going one or two ways from being 3-0 to start the season. With Josh Dobbs at quarterback, having traded a bunch of key pieces, I think Jonathan Gannon should get a lot of credit for the start Arizona's gotten off to this year.
I would agree, Dustin, completely. This team is a couple of plays away from being a 3-0 football team, which he just alluded to. But on the flip side, guys, the Dallas Cowboys missed a huge opportunity here. These are the type of games you have to win in the National Football League. In 2 weeks, they have the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara on a huge Sunday night game. That game is so crucial now to Dallas, Patrick, because if they drop that game, it's going to be very difficult to see a scenario where the 49ers would lose three additional games to Dallas with the Cowboys basically being in a situation where they have to play flawless football. I'm not saying the Niners are going 17-0 and the Cowboys are going 15-2, but the point is you can't lose the games when you've got the Eagles twice on your schedule and you've got San Francisco, and these are three teams that are looking at potential home field advantage throughout the postseason. These types of losses are inexcusable. And, guys, you both brought it up. Josh Dobbs. You can't be losing to Josh Dobbs on the road if you're Dallas.
You know what the Cardinals are going to do? The Cardinals are going to mess around and lose out on 1-2 overall, pass it to the Bears and Broncos, and be stuck with Kyler Murray. Good luck with that.
Could you imagine? No, they need to trade Josh Dobbs now. They need to, like, they need to justify that a fifth-round pick or whatever they can get for Josh Dobbs from the Jets or the Falcons or whoever thinks that they're a quarterback away. The Cardinals cannot let Josh Dobbs ruin the opportunity to get Caleb Williams.
Next up. Can you guys, I want you both to comment on the Jags as well. Yeah. Amal Shaw, I know you have Mr. Stroud coming up in just a bit, and he was spectacular in the game.
Yeah.
But how about this? It was, what, 37-17 finish? The Houston Texans were the better football team. There really isn't a question here.
It was not even close. And I'll tell you, special teams in this football game was directly, in my opinion, responsible for 17 points. 3 points on the blocked field goal, which then was returned 26 yards, which set up the Texans for another score. And then you have the kickoff return for a touchdown. I mean, these are all crucial plays. The Jags were getting back into the football game, missed an opportunity. I think it was 17-10 when the kickoff return for a touchdown occurred, put them up 24-10. And that was the difference. It was over right then and there. And the other thing is some of the decision-making and the play calling for the Jaguars is a bit skeptical to me. I didn't like the decision to kick a 51-yard field goal. I'm not a big fan of these long field goals. I know Matt Gay had 4 field goals over 50 yards yesterday, and many of these guys are just automatic from within 50 yards as is. But you're going to go for it in certain situations, 4th and 5 at the 40-yard line. Why not go for it on 4th and 3 or 4 when you've got the ball at the opponent's 34-yard line? To me, the risk is worth the reward. It just, some of these are confounding to me in terms of the decision-making, and then give the Texans a ton of credit. I'm telling you, Patrick, my one hesitation in Survivor with Jacksonville, I was going to take Seattle had Bryce Young been playing. But when he didn't, I said, I'm going with the Jags, even though it's a division opponent. The one thing I saw in that second half of the Colts game was C.J. Stroud's confidence started to grow. And I got to tell you guys, if I didn't tell anybody he was a rookie quarterback watching that game, watching Houston for the first time, you would have never known that the way he played out there. He was tremendous. That team played very well. And one other quick note that it made it really difficult for Jacksonville. 8 receivers caught balls for the Houston Texans. That was a huge difference in the offensive performance for Houston.
Yeah, well put. Quickly, Dustin, 9,267 entered Circa Survivor, 5,916 entered yesterday alive, 2,421 lost on the Jags. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, we were one of them, and it was very evident early in that game that we were going to get eliminated.
Curtains.
Because one thing that is big for especially a rebuilding franchise trying to instill a winning culture is being able to respond. And I thought the most impressive thing from the Texans yesterday was on the road, every time there was a punch from Jacksonville to get back into it, Houston had a counter. Houston had a counter. They just kept hitting them back. And eventually, Jacksonville was demoralized. Here's what Doug Peterson had to say about his team potentially heading into this game, believing their own press clippings.
You know, I think that's real. I do. I think that's real.
Donk.
And you know, I've been around this game too long to know that you can't live in the past, or you're gonna fail in the future. And you know, we've just got to focus one day at a time. We got to get better each day, and can't worry about next week or the week after. Can't worry about the London trip coming up. We can't, you know, we just got to focus in on the week at hand. And you know, that part of it starts with me and making sure that the guys are. You know, hearing that message, you know, loud and clear for me, and I'll make sure that they get that message.
Well, I don't know about his offensive playbook, but his coach speak playbook was read before that interview. My goodness. One step in front of the other. What are you going to do? Look backwards, not forward. Whoa. I just
want to say this real quick. This team is living off of the second half against the Chargers last year. They were 9-8, and people came into the season talking about them like they were 14-3. Pump the damn brakes. The Broncos have sucked, and they still continue to suck, and Jacksonville is overrated. Have a nice day.
Got to keep chopping wood.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and soccer bet with historical data and stats. Stop betting in the dark. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code WINNER to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Shout to Liz, Sean, the rest of the crew, comfortable in the closet there at the D as we welcome you back. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Amal Shaw, downtown at the D, Fremont Street. We've got like, love, load. Just quickly, I want to give you an update as far as these numbers, as the Burrow news is hot and heavy right now. Will he or won't he? The number's 3, where we started the show. It was 2.5 this morning when we woke up with Cincinnati laying at hosting the Rams. We'll keep you updated. 5.5. DraftKings is sitting there with Philly at Tampa Bay. Philly laying it, of course, 44.5 on the total. My like to start off the segment was the upsets with Dallas, of course, the Jags and Baltimore. Amal Shaw, you're up.
Yeah, I'm going to go college football here for a second, and I'm going to go with Jalen Milroe, quarterback at Alabama. 17 for 21 in that game against Ole Miss, a crucial game for the Crimson Tide. 225 yards, one touchdown, one INT. Not great on the ground, 16 for 28, 16 carries for 28 yards. But, Patrick, I'll tell you what. I thought Alabama made a huge mistake when they made the quarterback change to go with Tyler Buckner and Simpson in that game against USF. And this team played much, much better with Jalen Milroe. I think there's a belief in him that previously didn't exist in some of the other guys. And I just like what he brings to the table. And you saw it in the Crimson Tide, the way they responded in the second half. I know Dustin likes LSU to win the SEC West. But, guys, when you're struggling against Arkansas at home down to the wire, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. I think Alabama will get better as the season progresses. The one area they've got to improve upon is the offensive line. Eric Wolford, Patrick, you might know that name because he was the offensive line coach at South Carolina for 4 years. They've got to get better there. If they can get better, I think this team's got a chance to be competitive in the SEC still. I'm not going to write them out. I think Milroe is a difference maker. So I'm going to go with Jalen Milroe for my like today.
Okay, and I think one of the bigger stories coming out of the Alabama win over Ole Miss is, can we stop the deriding of Lane Kiffin? My goodness, the man is 48 years old. He's coached the Oakland Raiders. He's coached at USC, Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, and now Ole Miss. Nobody has lived a bigger career off his dad running the cover two in Tampa more than freaking Lane Kiffin. Contextually, what he did at USC, 8 wins, 10 wins, 7 wins, and then fired 5 wins into his final season with the talent he had, Amal Shaw, the talent he had at USC to finish 7-6 in 2012 is laughable. He's a joke as a head coach. He's a very good offensive mind. I love what he did at Bama as the offensive coordinator. As a head coach, Lane Kiffin is beyond overrated.
He's the Peter Principle at its finest, rising to your greatest level of incompetency, and that's exactly what he's done. This is a guy who should be an offensive coordinator, and you're absolutely right. He's a great play caller, but I thought if you couldn't beat Alabama this year with the talent, Jackson Dart played very well, and they missed some opportunities as well. But to me, I just don't see this Ole Miss program ever rising to a level where they're highly competitive in the SEC West. When you look at LSU, when you look at Alabama, let's see what happens down in Auburn in a year or two. And A&M, even though they didn't play great in that game against Miami, who, by the way, Dustin Sweetelson, I think the Hurricanes are a little bit better than they're getting credit for. A&M might be a solid football team that we just discounted because the Hurricanes are looking like they might be a contender with Duke to potentially face off against Florida State and Charlotte in December.
Yeah, to your point about LSU and my bet there, I bet them to win the national title today at 50-1. Alabama's 40-1. Why don't I bet both of those and have a hedging opportunity when one of them wins the West, faces Georgia? And Georgia, I think we all agree, we think they're good, but we're not totally sold on how short the number is on them at this point in the year. Like, why not place both those bets at those long odds and then have a hedge opportunity later in the year?
Did you guys see the Georgia-UAB game at all?
I saw Trent Dilfer before the game talking about how excited he was to be in an SEC night game atmosphere, and it was going to be almost as cool as being in a Super Bowl. He was coaching UAB. He shouldn't be talking about how excited he is to be in that kind of game.
There were two consecutive throws Beck had where there were drops. The first one, it was so funny to me because it literally sounded like a ball going off of a pipe. I mean, it should have been a walk-in touchdown, 50-yard pass. I mean, Beck's looking around like, my God, who am I throwing the ball to? Just Georgia team is not as good. But again, I don't think you have a bad bet there if you're strictly looking to hedge in a scenario with the SEC title game. I think you can be profitable based on the odds and where these two teams stand right now in the SEC West.
Okay, Jalen Milroe for Amal Shaw's like. Big guy, we head over to you. Like, love, loathe, your like is?
It's Joshua Dobbs. Look, I think there's a lesson to be learned here bigger than just like betting on games and whatnot. And it's quarterbacks and their success in the NFL. I mean, the three of us are guilty of it. Everyone who talks about the NFL is guilty of it. Judging quarterbacks and not realizing situations make a lot of these guys. Like, Josh Dobbs is a guy that was never going to get a coach their next contract. He was never going to get a GM their next contract. He wasn't a sexy guy. He wasn't a super big recruit. He had a good college career, but he's not a guy that teams are looking to develop. And I think Josh Dobbs on his own has developed into a solid NFL quarterback. I don't know if you can win a Super Bowl with him, but I know there are worse guys being given opportunities around the NFL right now to lead teams that think they are currently winning in the NFL. And I'm looking at the New York Jets with Zach Wilson at this moment, and I'm looking at the Atlanta Falcons. I think what Josh Dobbs has done to start the year, and specifically taking down a Cowboys team that has dominated opponents to start the year, especially on the defensive side of the football, he has allowed himself to now have another opportunity in this league. And I think there's a lesson to be learned from watching Josh Dobbs play quarterback that a lot of these coaches do not know how to develop quarterbacks, because this guy was under a lot of coaches' noses for years, and no one really ever gave him a shot until now. And I think Josh Dobbs is the kind of guy that could lead Atlanta to the playoffs this year if they would make the move.
You know,
so what you're saying is Josh Dobbs right now is a rocket ship, which is apt because he could fly a rocket ship. He's an aerospace engineer and scored a 4.0 in doing so at Tennessee. The dude is smart and he's talented.
Yeah. And if the NFL wants to expand to Europe, you know, they want to go to London, they want to go to Mexico City, Josh Dobbs could be the guy to take the NFL to the moon.
First of all, if I'm the New York Jets, sorry, go ahead, Patrick.
Please, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if I'm the New York Jets, A, how bad is Tim Boyle, the fact that he doesn't see the field? And second, go get somebody like Josh Dobbs. I don't care. You can't allow your season to go up in flames. I'm telling you right now, Dustin's point is correct. If Josh Dobbs was starting single caller for the Jets yesterday, they beat Mac Jones, who, by the way, here's another guy who's straight stealing money. The only reason we're not talking about Mac Jones today is because Zach Wilson had one of the worst performances going back to Ryan Leaf's 14-day or whatever he had that one year.
I mean, Mac Jones is Gino Toretto. That's what he is. No offense to my guy Gino, but like, he's a guy who had better weapons than everyone in college, so it made him look good. He's not that good.
All right, and don't worry, Jets fans. Nathaniel Hackett will fix it. couple of things. Okay, so a good one for there's our likes. I'm going to go to my love. I want to read you to a quote. Okay, is this quote applicable to NFL offenses or sports betting? Quote. We're going to do the opposite of what everybody else is doing. That's the only way to innovate. When designing an offense, you should break the rules of what previous coaches have taught. If you're following the rules, the defense has the advantage. You can flip that. That's a Josh McDaniels quote about running his Miami offense. You can flip that quote about sports betting. If you're following the herd, you're going to lose. If you flip the rules, you're going to beat the book. I love that quote from McDaniels, and I love what the Dolphins did yesterday. 130 points, that's the second most ever through 3 weeks. 726 yards, that's the second most in history yesterday. They dropped 70, could have dropped more. That's the fourth 70-point game in history. The first since Washington dropped 72 in 66. This is insane. The offense McDaniels is running with Tua right now is a freaking wagon. All right, Tua's plus 380 to win your MVP. He's your betting favorite. 309 and four touchdowns, and that wasn't even the story yesterday. Devin Achane, who you and I discussed, Amal Shaw, coming out of A&M, he's a track star playing running back. Well, yesterday he did something nobody else had done in his third game. In fact, I don't even know if he played in the first game. 200-plus rush yards, 2-plus rush touchdowns, 2-plus receiving touchdowns in his second game of his career. Unbelievable. The run game for the Dolphins, it was good. They ran for 350 yards and 5 touchdowns. Mostert went nuts, 4 total touchdowns, 142 total yards. It's a system right now that is tapped into speed. Speed and more speed. Outside with the speed, the running backs with the speed. And a coach right now that is doing things differently, unconventionally, that nerd can draw up an offense.
You're absolutely right about that. And that one damn carry against the New England Patriots kind of ruined Achane from having the greatest debut in NFL history. But you're absolutely right. And one other thing that bothered me in this game, why the hell did the Miami Dolphins slow down at the end? Hey, man, the other team's getting paid. Should have put up a 77 burger on these guys.
Big guy, thoughts on the way out, Miami and McDaniels?
Every time I looked up at that game on my screen, there was another Dolphins player just jogging into the end zone. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yep, going well in Denver. When we return, Amal Shaw's love, like love, loathe here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Gonna have to get Paul Feinbaum to referee the fight that Amal and Dustin were just having. We got you back, and we're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single day. So here's the deal. New customers, you can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups. You walk away an instant winner. Football, well, it's more fun when you're in on the action. So download the app right now and use the code SHARP. New customers, bet just $5, get $200 instantly. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With the code SHARP, the crown is yours. Favorites, 8-5 straight up ATS in week 3 thus far. How about the home teams? 8-6 straight up ATS. However, the mitigation of home field advantage on the season, road teams are 25-21 straight up, 25-18-3 ATS. The unders bite back in week 3. 8-6 so far in week 3. Over-unders break even on the year at 23-23. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Amal Shaw, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. And we head to Amal. My love, like love loathe, was the Dolphins and the 70 piece they dropped on the Broncos yesterday. Your love is?
I'm going to tell you right now, for me, it's my guy. I'm going with C.J. Stroud. This guy's been unbelievable in terms of what he's been able to do. 20 for 30 yesterday, Patrick. Two touchdowns, better than 275 yards passing. It's just the confidence you can see, and you talked about it. They had some open receivers, but it's just making the plays, right? The play with Tank Dell, he waits long enough, gets that ball out to him. Dell cruises in the end zone. And then the offense responded every time it seemed like Jacksonville was coming back in that football game. I think the Houston Texans, I know it's early, it's three games into his career. But it just looks like to me they found a guy that they're comfortable and confident. And I thought I saw it in the play calling. I don't know how closely you guys watched that game yesterday. But there were situations in the past with a rookie quarterback you would see teams take a more conservative approach. Hell, the Jets were running the ball basically on third down and 10. They had an eight-play drive during one sequence against the Patriots. They ran the ball all eight plays. But this Houston Texans team, they get back there. They let C.J. Stroud rip it. And again, goes for 280 passing yards. Did a tremendous job. Only rookie quarterback to have 900 yards passing in his first three games, four touchdowns, and most importantly, no INTs. Third most yards accumulated by a rookie quarterback since Cam Newton and Justin Herbert. So really off to a fantastic start. And I think the lack of interceptions is so crucial. One other positive for him yesterday, no turnovers. Now, he did have a fumble problem against the Ravens and against the Colts in the first two games. Corrected that. Was a clean pocket yesterday. Did not get sacked. But if you're a Houston Texans fan, there's a lot to get excited about right now.
Most importantly, Amal Shaw, for the former Buckeye. Fellas, if we're handing out grades for eyeball tests, C.J. Stroud is graduating with honors. The eyeball test, he's absolutely, he looks the part. And I guess we overthought it, because if you just go back to last year, by far and away, the best game by a quarterback was him against that Georgia defense. Yeah. And we still just went into the draft with questions. You mentioned all the stats, but if you just erase the box and you use your eyeballs, Amal and Dustin Sweetelson, the C.J. Stroud is, if you're a Texans fan, congratulations. The next 14 years are going to be fun.
Yeah, and right now he's plus 340, number two shot on the board, offensive rookie of the year. And when you factor in the fact that the other two quarterbacks, Richardson and Young, are both injured at the moment, if Stroud can stay healthy and he can play the full year, I think he can absolutely challenge Bijan Robinson, who's the favorite at the moment. But you got to remember with Bijan, I know he's a great pass catcher for a running back, but if his team's losing, the game script could eliminate him from putting up some of the statistics that would help him keep him in the mix late in the year. I think if C.J. Stroud balls out and Houston wins a few games and he has good numbers, he has an absolute shot at winning this award.
Dustin, you kind of stole my thunder. That's exactly what I was going to say about Bijan, Patrick. He's tremendous. We all know how good he is. But if this team, it becomes one-dimensional and they have to rely on Desmond Ridder in situations, I think it's going to hurt Bijan Robinson. I think if you're playing the Atlanta Falcons, your goal is take away the running game and let them try and beat you through the air. I just don't think they're going to find consistency doing it. Right now, you look at Bijan, gets off to a fantastic start in his career, 180 rushing yards in the first two games. Yesterday, the Detroit Lions held him to 33 yards rushing. And the problem is, I think this is going to be a repetitive theme. On the flip side, to me, the Houston Texans go on the road, they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars the prohibitive favorite to win that AFC South. Guys, right now we're seeing a much improved Indianapolis Colts team. The Tennessee Titans have problems. The Houston Texans, I'm not suggesting they're a great team by any stretch, but it looks like once they get their full offensive line back around week five, this team could be better. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, guys are emerging. Rashawn Woods. This team is playing some pretty good football. Damian Pierce, I know we all liked watching him last year. If he can show some of that consistency, they might be pretty decent.
Yep, absolutely. C.J. Stroud, that's a great one for your love. Surprise start for the Texans. Great job there down in Houston. Big guy, you're up. Your love.
Well, my love is about love, and it's about my guy, Travis Kelce. How about Travis Kelce, my guy over there? A win for him, but also a win for hollering and horniness everywhere. For my brothers and thumbs who like to fire off a I heart emoji or a fire emoji to an Instagram story, Travis Kelce's proving us justified because for those that don't know, Taylor Swift was at the Chiefs game yesterday in support of Travis Kelce. Never in Travis's wildest dreams did he think that this could be possible for him. For those that don't know the whole story, Kelce went to a Taylor Swift concert a couple months ago, brought a bracelet to give to her. He did not end up seeing her, but what he did was very smart. He put it out into the stratosphere that he wanted to give her a friendship bracelet, and eventually word got back to her. And in the end, Travis Kelce started a thing. I don't want to call it a relationship. I don't want to jump the gun here for them. But Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are now a quote-unquote item as he was sitting in the box up with Mrs. Kelce, his mom, Donna Kelce. So I just think for Travis, it's a lesson. It's a lesson for guys like me. You keep shooting your shots. You make it public. You let them know that you're interested. Because there's a chance in the end. One, you just need one. You just need one of them to reply back to you and say that they're interested back. And what we're witnessing in front of us as my love in Like, Love, and Loathe is a true love story. So I'm happy for both of them. I am taking some positive vibes from Travis's approach, and I'm going to keep doing what I do, which is shooting in those Instagram DMs and hope someone replies, because when I opened Instagram this morning, you know what I saw, fellas? The last person I dated got engaged last night. So I desperately need someone to reply and let me take them out on a date so I can move on past this, just like Travis Kelce did with Taylor Swift.
Well, it certainly helps to shoot your shot when you're a handsome 6'6", best catching tight end that the league has ever seen. It helps when you're a dude that went on SNL and killed it because you have charisma. You've got a sweet mustache, and you're in every single commercial played on television. That is Travis Kelce.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
I know that was... That was the big story yesterday. You know, everybody with the Taylor Swift puns, and it took over social media, obviously. I know people get curmudgeonly about it, but it was fun. It was fun to watch.
Look, it's a move I know all too well. I thought he was absolutely fearless in what he did trying to pursue her, and she looked enchanted when she was sitting there watching the game, and I hope they're together forever and always, and they're each other's last kiss, and he keeps her safe and sound.
You are the first person in any broadcast entity to do puns with Taylor Swift songs in Travis Kelce. I want you to take a bow. Amal Shah, I don't know if you have a take on Travis and Taylor, but of course that was a story that dominated yesterday.
Well, Arrowhead did look like holy ground. I think Amal would agree with that.
I'm just trying to shake off this segment.
That's where the story
of us started.
There
it is. We should talk about what happened before we get to our loathes as far as that game's concerned. Would we close 12.5 with the Chiefs laying it? Was never in doubt. That is the Bears' 13th straight loss. They can't score. You would think they'd throw for some yards and Justin Fields would do something because they were constantly coming from behind. In this matchup, did he throw for 100 yards, boys? I don't think so. Maybe around 90.
They were terrible yesterday. And you know what, guys? It's not going to get any better. And if you have an opportunity for making a wager, Matt Eberflus, to me, guys, is going to be the first quarterback that's probably going to be fired this year. And I just don't see it improving in Chicago. 99, 11 for 22 with a pick and a TD, 3 sacks.
Eric Bieniemy watches Matt Eberflus and goes, what am I doing wrong in these interviews? This guy has a job. Matt Eberflus might be one of the all-time bad hires we've seen in recent memory. not only just from being a defensive head coach, but his team has no idea what they're doing every single week. This Chiefs offense has not looked good to start the season, and they dropped 41 on them yesterday. Like, Matt Eberflus will be the first coach fired simply because Ron Rivera won't be.
Here's what's embarrassing. The Broncos give up 70, but the Bears gave up more points in the second quarter than the Dolphins scored in any single quarter yesterday.
That was about as bad as it gets. You see the number, close 12.5, a 41-10 winner for Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift there at Arrowhead. When we return, Like Love Loathe continues with our loathes right here. It's Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.